I'm glad you guys showed up. I thought I'd like to continue to work on the theme that Pastor Caleb has been preaching on for the last, I don't know, what, 5-6 weeks, something like that, on faith out of Hebrews, but I'm not going to Hebrews tonight, maybe just one time. But before we do, let's just take a minute and pray. Father, I thank you, Father, again, for your so great love for us. And Lord, pray especially for Ryan and his daughter, Father. Just ask that you would help them, guide them, encourage them, Lord. Lord, please, I pray that your hand be on that whole situation. I pray for Pastor and Kevin, Father, please encourage. Help them to be an encouragement, a blessing to Ryan, Father, and to that family. And Lord, again, echo the thoughts of so many of us already that have been praying for teens, our teens and teen camp, and just ask that you bless and work there, Father. And Lord, again, I need your help. Lord, I pray that it would be you speaking through me tonight, Father, not me. Lord, that you would be honored and lifted up and my church family would be encouraged and blessed, Father. Please help my voice, guide my thoughts, Father. And Lord, I just want to thank you for what you're going to do. And Lord, I'm certainly looking forward to one of these days when you return and catch us out of here and just we'll be over with you, over home forever, Lord. And again, please bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, faith, if you were to define it, if we had more time, I would kind of ask people for various definitions of how they define faith. But one of the simplest ones that I've heard come across is confidence in the testimony of another. Confidence in the testimony of another. If you take another person at their word, you're placing confidence in what they're telling you that it's the truth, or maybe you kind of take it with a kind of a grain of salt. I mean, if Judy tells me she has the best soup in the world, I'm going to take that with a grain of salt, you know. But if Rebecca told me that now. So placing confidence in the testimony of another. Kind of the definition of faith. And I want to start by giving you some some synonyms. Anybody remember what a synonym is from high school English? What's a synonym? Synonym, right? Synonym. There we go. We'll get it out yet. They're words that mean the same. So I thought it'd be interesting to look at some of the synonyms for faith. And I've got a list of like 7 of them. I'm sure there's probably more, and you could look them up or something. But conviction. If I'm convicted about something that I believe in, I'm going to, that's what I believe. That's my faith. I'm going to trust in that. Amen. That it's sound. Reliance. If I have my faith, if my faith is in the Lord, I'm relying on Him to do everything He's going to do. Amen. Even correct me when I need that. Dependence. If you have faith in something, did any of you look at the chair this evening when you sat down? No, you didn't. You just depended that it was going to hold you up. Yep, yeah. How about assuredness? I'm assured that God can perform what He's promised. His promises to me that I believe by faith. I'm assured that He is well able to do them. Trust, again, to place our trust in Him. And we could look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for an example of that. You know, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. We're going to look at that again later, but regardless of what's going on, still to trust Him. Amen. That He can see the big picture even though we can't. Belief, to believe in God, to have faith in Him, to believe in what you've been convicted about, this is the truth. To believe that and stick with it. And then confidence was another synonym, confidence. And again, if we were to look at the source of faith, along with this definition, the testimony of another, and of course, the source of our faith being God's word.
Amen.
that we're placing our confidence, our belief, our trust, our dependence, our reliance in His Word.
That's right.
In His Word. Why did you do that? I'm sure that the first time you heard God's Word preached, you maybe didn't want anything to do with it. I don't know. I know it was several times in my life hearing God's Word before I actually became convicted that maybe I should be paying attention. I don't know about you guys, but I know that was kind of the way it worked with me. Turn over to Romans 10, and we'll get started there. And again, these are going to be verses that we know. It's not going to be much of anything real new, I don't think. But sometimes we just need to be reassured of the things that we hold true in our lives, the things that we base our lives on. And here in Romans 10, again, a very familiar verse, verse 17, you probably can quote it to me. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that kind of defines what you're placing your belief in, what you're listening to, that you actually get convicted about, the word of God. How did you get saved? By someone giving you the word of God, and then maybe several times, like as I mentioned, and then that word working in your heart, God working in your heart with that, with His word, bringing you to a point of conviction. If we look at verse 17 again, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, to read, to understand it, to apply it. If you're right there in Romans 10, turn, just look back at chapter 9 and look at verse 30 through 32. And we see the difference here between religion and Christianity. There in verse 30, Paul starts out by saying here, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness, that's he's speaking as a Jew, as a Jewish person, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. They were trying to keep something to get their righteousness by working for it. That's not how it works. You guys know that. Don't let anybody come along and tell you, hey, you've got to work for your salvation. Right. I could name several outfits that do that. I've crossed tracks with them a couple of times. You got your righteousness by believing God's word. Amen. And applying it to your life. And if you haven't gotten there tonight, if people listening online or whatever, that's how you get saved. And we're going to continue on with that. They sought it not by faith. What does Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 say? I know you guys can quote it for me. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I cannot stand here and brag that I did some great deed and God rewarded me with righteousness. Didn't work that way. We see that grace works with faith. That's what brings us to salvation. Israel didn't seek it by faith. And you can see that result in the rejection of the Lord Jesus. And then we're going to look at a verse here in just a moment, but you can see that after the crucifixion, it was like things changed a little bit. Chapter 10. Let's look through 6 through 10. I didn't even look to see what time I started. Oh, well. I get done when I get done, I guess. Chapter 10, familiar verses, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again, bring Christ again from the dead. But what is it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Again, it's looking at God's word and you having God's word work in your heart. God works, you know, works through his word in your heart to bring you to the point of either you're saying, yeah, I need to be saved. This is what I want to, this is what I'm going to believe. Or you're saying, no, I don't need that stuff. And we meet plenty of people every day. I'm sure you guys do on the job or wherever you're shopping or whatever, try to pass out a track. No, I don't need that stuff. I'm good. I don't need that when they do need it. The word of faith, which we preach, verse 8, that, and that leads us into this section of the Romans road here, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, you're saying what you already believe in your heart, what God worked in your heart and brought to fruition. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's in the heart that you that this change comes. And it'll bring you to the point of, you know, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, or they don't. It's interesting, as I mentioned, let's see here. Turn over to Acts 2, just for a moment. Acts chapter 2, verse 37, 36 and 37. And pardon me while I get a drink. Here we find in Acts chapter 2 that Peter is out there. He's preaching to a bunch of his brothers and or fellow countrymen, just for a way of a little bit of background. And I'm not going to go through what he was saying. I'm just going to focus on the reaction of God's word in their hearts. If you notice here, verse 36, he's kind of finishing up his message. And he's saying, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, look at the effect that God's word had in their heart. They were pricked in their hearts. Right. Now, again, if you've been out in the street corner and you get people going by, and some of you will, they will show their intelligence quotient. what I'm talking about. They're not approving exactly what you're doing. And some will actually, you know, they'll give you the thumbs up and they'll wave and they'll approve of what you're doing, but some of them won't. And it depends on has God's word pricked their hearts. At one point in our lives, in your life, it worked in your heart. It pricked your heart. And you decided, yeah, I've got to do something and make a change here. And you went through with it. Along this same line, turn back to Matthew 16. I want to look at what Peter had, or I'm sorry, yeah, what Peter had to say. Matthew 16. Just one more example of it before we move on. Matthew 16, 16 and 17. And here we find that, excuse me, here we find that Jesus has asked his disciples whom they believe him to be. And of course, Peter makes his little statement here about, thou art the Christ, verse 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the thing that kind of struck me was look at Jesus' reaction to that statement. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Again, which leads me to the point of God's word works in your heart. God works through his word and causes the conviction that you have, the trust that you're going to put, the belief that you have. Right. And at one point it worked in all our hearts. Either we did or we didn't. And so let's move on. So what did my faith get me? It got me saved. Amen. It got me saved, and hopefully it got you saved. If you're not saved, you need to be. We're not going to push that tonight, but, well, maybe we will. But my faith got me, it got me saved. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would, please. I know we already looked at this verse, but look at it again. Again, don't let anybody talk you out or talk you into the idea that salvation comes by works. It was by God's grace working with faith. Well, I'm a Corinthians. Give me just a second, I'll get over to Ephesians. Here we go. There is so much in the first chapter of Ephesians that I think that's one of my favorite books in the Bible. We see here again that it's not of works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It had to be God's gift, because there's nothing that I could do to earn it. It had to be his gift, his grace working in my life. My faith got me saved. And not of works, again, I have the assurance that if I asked, God would do that. I was convicted of it, and so I did it, and so did you. It also got me a very special relationship with God, a very, very special relationship that the world doesn't have. I don't know if you ever think of it that way, but it is. The relationship that you have with your Savior, with God, is something that's it's very special. I now belong to him. If you, right there in Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 13 and 14, if you would, please. And it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. There again, speaking about, you know, hearing God's word, applying it to your heart, believing it, being saved. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I don't care what religion you go to, you're not going to be sealed by the Holy Spirit other than Christianity. Right. You have a very special relationship, sealed. Think about it, his forever. There's no way you can get out of it. Amen. And I'm thankful for that, because I probably would have lost it. But no, you're sealed, you're his forever, regardless of what happens in your life, regardless of what comes down the pike, regardless of whatever, you know, you're still his. You may not be standing there before him someday getting a lot of rewards, but you'll be there. You can't be unsealed. He adopted me as for himself. Look at verse 5. There's just a bunch of blessings here. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, and according to the good pleasure of his will. Before the foundation that God laid for this world, he could see ahead and see that Howard Bacon would need salvation. And he made the preparations, the he set things in place, in order for that to take place. Amen. That I could be adopted as his child. Now, when you adopt a child, I don't know if any of you are adopted or not, but it's not like, oh, we're having a baby, you know, and you get to take what comes along. Rather it's a boy or girl, I mean, it's that's what you get, right? It's kind of hard, weird thing to say, but when you adopt a child, you adopt that child because you want that child. Because that child means something to you. You desire to have that child. Think of it in terms of God desiring each one of us to be his child. What a special relationship that is. If, right there in verse 5 again, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. He's not only my Savior, my God, my King, all the other things that you can, he's also, he wanted to be my adopted father. what a neat thing. Amen. That he would go through that, all that pain and all that suffering and all the other things that went on, that took place for him to do that, to go to the cross for for me? Yeah. You know, for you? And yet he did. He adopted me for himself. When, I think probably my favorite verse in the Bible is over in Romans chapter 8, and you probably heard it before, but I'm going to go over it again because I get to be up here preaching tonight. Verse 15. And we certainly could go through the verses before it and after it. But again, I won't take the time. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Again, it was God working through his word, the Holy Spirit working in your life that would lead you in this direction. Verse 15, Romans chapter 8, if you got it. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I don't have to worry about that spirit of bondage, again to fear. I don't have to worry that if I mess up, God's going to say, all right, you're done. You're out of here. You know, doesn't work that way. Amen. You adopted me. You're stuck with me. Amen. And I'm stuck with you. You know, and it works both ways, because sometimes, you know, our relationship with God kind of slips. And we all know Christians that, well, they're not here tonight, some of them, you know. Their relationship with God really isn't that strong, that close. And, you know, it's kind of weird that they would not want that close relationship. But It's either as close or as far as you allow it to be. It is. But regardless, I haven't received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear that what I'm going to do, that God will not forgive me at some point, regardless. That God will tell me, all right, I'm done with you. You know, I don't have to work and be afraid that I'm not doing enough to please God. Maybe I won't please him, but I know I'm still his. I'm still his child. But I have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba is an interesting word. I did a little research on it, and there's no equivalent in the English language for the word Abba and whatever it was written in. The closest thing that comes along is, again, I'm not... It was the relationship of a child, a son, but a child, to their father. A filial relationship. And don't ask me what that means. You can ask Pastor Caleb when he gets back. But F-I-L-I-A-L, filial, is some kind. It's something about the closeness of a child to their father. And I'll just boil it down to, we can have an intimate, personal, close relationship with the God who created all this. Amen. And would go to such depth or such lengths to adopt us as his children. And as his children, we certainly see that he takes care of us. And that kind of brings me to my next point. I'm not my own. I belong to him, and he belongs to me. I'm not under bondage. I'm assured of his constant love and presence. If you're still there in Romans 8, look at the end of the chapter. Again, verses that we already know. But verse 39, nothing is going to separate me from him. Nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My faith got me that. My faith got me that. It got me saved and it got me these spiritual blessings here. And I could certainly go on. Excuse me. Yep, sorry, Joe. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 tells us the same thing, basically. Oh, I know. I'm sorry. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 speaks about his constant abiding presence. Again, verses that we ought to know. How God promises he'll never leave us nor depart. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there for us. My faith also got me, among other things, it got me confidence. Boy, excuse me. I'm having Andrew's problem. Excuse me. My faith got me confidence in prayer. Confidence in prayer. Amen. And I don't know how much you pray. It's between you and the Lord. But that's your business, not mine. I know. I try to pray about everything. And we know the verses over in Hebrews chapter 4, but turn over there again, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4. My confidence is in my Savior, and who is also my high priest. Hebrews chapter 4. And starting with verse 14, again, verses that we know. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Again, don't give up on your faith. Where's your confidence? Where's your assuredness, pardon me. It should be in him. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, because of that, because of my faith, I have access into verse 16, the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God doesn't necessarily remove the whatever it is going on in our lives, but he takes us through it. He takes us through it. In Proverbs 15, verse 8, you don't have to turn there, but it says that the prayer of the upright is his delight. Why would God delight in my prayers? Well, he wanted to adopt me as his child. For whatever reason, he tells me in his word there in Proverbs that he delights in the prayer of his children, of the upright. Now, to be upright means to have character approved of God, by the way. Side note there. To be upright, character approved by God. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, if you would. Verse 6 tells us that be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We just heard about Ryan having an accident. You know, it's how do you have peace of God with that? You know, and yet you know that somehow God is going to work through it, even in something like that, in something like some of the other tragedies, the things that go on in our lives and the lives of our church family, the lives of people that we know. And yet, we need to hang on to the Lord. He gives peace that we don't necessarily understand why we should have it. But be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, notice with thanksgiving, he is so good to us. He takes such good care of us. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Because of this confidence that I have in prayer, because of my faith, I can look at my next point. My faith helps me through. And I left it open-ended. I just put down a bunch of dots after that one. My faith helps me through. Your faith will help you through. It's open-ended because it helps us through so many things, doesn't it? The things that we go through in our lives. Sometimes we're having a good time. Our faith helps us through a good time, you know. And I thank the Lord for those good times. There have been more good times in my life than bad, certainly. I couldn't, was it Jacob that got down to the end of his life and said, the years of my life have been, they've been horrible. Yeah, short and horrible, and he hadn't had a very good time. I can't say that. I tell you, as a Christian, I have thoroughly enjoyed my life, and the good times far outweigh the bad times. They do. Even though we all go through things, my faith helps me through. Again, it helps me through seeing some of the things that you guys go through. It does. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 tells us that our walk is by, I'm sorry, before I get there, I almost messed up. It's not an easy matter going through problems. It's just not. And we all know that. It's nothing new. And we all go through problems, some of them worse than others. And I don't understand why some of us go through things that, you know, I don't go through. But God knows. It's not an easy matter. And it's easy to you know, spout out a bunch of verses. Well, we need to be doing this and that. It's harder to live them, isn't it? It's easy to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. But then when you're there and you're going through it, it's not so easy, is it? No, it's not so easy. But it is easier when you have friends. It's so much easier to go through problems when you have friends. Friends who listen, friends who intercede for you, who share the same faith, like my church family. Anybody know Proverbs 18:24? Can you quote it for me? Judy, can you quote it for me? Proverbs 18:24? Probably not. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. But what's the end of that say? There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Guess who that is? Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not only my Savior, my God, my one to adopt me as his child, he's also my friend. And over in Romans, it says that he intercedes. We have actually two that intercede for us, the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus. They both intercede for us. I have a friend who listens. Who listens, regardless of whatever it is, however I blurt it out to him, he listens. Amen. A friend that I can talk to in prayer. A friend who intercedes for me, who has, dare I say, shares the same faith. I guess you could say it that way. A friend who is always there. I don't have to use the phone to call him up. Amen. He's always there. It's not easy going through things, but we have a friend, a God who understands, who cares. We walk by sight, but we can hold on to his, we walk not by sight, we walk by faith. There we go, I got that one right. But we can hold on to his hand. Our faith is part of our armor. It's part of our protection, the shield of faith. That God still protects and watches over us. He protects us. I'm sure that there are things that have gone on in our lives that you never even saw, never even knew about. That car that maybe should have hit you, but didn't. The things that go on that, you know, if things had been slightly different, they could have been disastrous for you. And yet God protected you. We don't see the spiritual warfare that goes on around about us. And I'm thankful that we don't. Really am. He's our shield, our defense, part of our armor. He watches over his children. And the friends, the last time they were here, they did a song. One of the little girls did a song that was called I Can Trust Jesus. And I asked Brother Thren if I could record his songs, and he certainly told me I could go ahead and do that, so I recorded that one. I'm not going to sing it for you, don't panic. But the song starts out, in the first few words say, God picked up a sparrow. They could no longer fly. He brushed off his wounds and watched it soar into the sky. How many times have I been that sparrow, or you been that sparrow? We were soaring along and crash. Okay, God, I need you to pick me up. And he would do that. I can trust Jesus because I'm his child. Right. I belong to him. 2 Corinthians 1. Anybody remember what happens in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4? Turn over there, please. Turn over there. Oh, the other way, dummy. There we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. A couple of verses that you might want to memorize. They'd be good ones to put on your list. Verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. He's still the God, he's still the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I don't always need to understand, again, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I don't always understand why things happen, why God would allow that, but I can still trust him, and I need to still trust him. Proverbs 14, 26 says, in the fear of the Lord, in your relationship with him and your salvation is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge in time of trouble. Back there in Proverbs 3, verse 26, the Lord promises to be your confidence. There's no qualifications on that. He promises to be your confidence. It's no easy matter going through problems. But again, we have a God who still loves us. And one of the songs we did this evening, I was gonna mention it, but our hope isn't just in this life, is it? We look forward to being with him someday. Amen. We have confidence that we're going to be over there one of these days. And it looks like it's getting closer and closer all the time. And lastly, my faith helps me through whatever it is. My faith gives me confidence in prayer. My faith gives me a desire to see others saved, to serve him. If you turn over to, if you're right there in 2 Corinthians, turn over a page or two over to chapter 5. Starting with verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Okay, what does it constrain us to do? Well, if we look down through there, he mentions us being ambassadors for him. Okay, so what does that mean? It means to get out there and see if we can't give his testimony to someone else, that they could maybe place some confidence in it. Confidence in the testimony of another. It would take the testimony that we believe to somebody else. Because he loves me, for the love of Christ constraineth us, that we need to be doing something for him in return. Verse 17, he made me a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you think, well, let's see. If I went back to when I was first saved and you told me I'd be up here preaching, I'd have told you you were crazy. But he's brought me this far. He made me a new creature and given me some new responsibilities. I mean, if I can stand up here and preach to bring honor and glory to him, why wouldn't I do it? If I can be out in the street corner or passing out of tracts or whatever it is, if I can be crawling around under Pastor Caleb's house trying to fix something or fixing the floor with Stephen over there and crawling around in the dirt, why wouldn't I do it? It is such a small thing compared to what we have waiting for us. If I had more time, we could go back to Ephesians and look at some more of those promises, but I'm not going to do that to you. He made me new, verse 18, and I'll just read them to you, and then we'll pretty well be done. For all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. There it is again. We got adopted. He made the way that we could be adopted, that we could be accepted, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Why would God trust us with doing that? I'm not sure, but we do. He's given it to us. Given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. There it is again, the word of reconciliation that you heard at one point, that you believed, that brought your salvation, that caused faith to grow, that brought your salvation and has grown through even through trials and problems that come along and brings you to the point where if you allow him to, God will use you to reach others. For all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you all, and he goes on. And of course, I frequently look to Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not Christ, or no, let not I, but Christ liveth in me. The things that I do is because of him, him working through me. Amen. Him working through you, if you allow him to. Right. Taking God's loving kindness to others. And the last place I want to go, I want to jump over to Colossians chapter 2, and we'll be done. Colossians chapter 2. And I'd like to look at verse 6 through 10. As ye, if you're there, over there, Colossians 2, 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Don't just, the memory verse last week was out of James that spoke about being what? Being a, not just a hearer of the word, but a doer, right? As ye have therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Established in the faith, that your faith would grow, that it would be secure, that nothing's going to mine it away or wash it away when problems come along. That you'd still be trusting in the one who saved you. Established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. What an amazing thing that regardless of what we go through, that we could be thankful to God for his help, for the way he works in our lives. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Hang on to his hand, stick with him, stick with what you know to be true. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10, and ye are complete in him. Ye are complete in him. And with that, I don't know, you want to close, Andrew, or you want me to close, or you want to do another song, or you want me to close? Okay. Father, I thank you again for your so great love for us. Lord, please work in our hearts. Father, help our faith to grow. Lord, and again, I pray for Ryan and the family, Lord, and just ask that you'd work there. Lord, I pray for our young people at camp, for their leaders, Father, and for their safety and their growth as in their lives, Father. And Lord, please watch over each one of us. Keep us safe in our travels to our various homes. Lord, please protect us from severe weather. And Lord, I thank you for this church family. I thank you, Father, for the blessings of belonging to your family, Father. Please watch over us in these days. Help us, Father, to be lifting up our Savior to those round about us. Father, to be taking your loving kindness to a world that doesn't necessarily appreciate it, but needs it. Lord, please bless. And Lord, please come soon. Catch us out of here. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.